The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
We lost that championship game against Donegal. We didn't lose a game for 7 years after that. I tell you, we were angry after that game. Dublin came back, I remember, in 2015. It was, we're putting this right.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now. OTB
AM. So people have been accusing us of a bit of bias towards the Republic of Ireland football team all morning. If you thought that was bias, wait until our next slot. Aisling O'Reilly is with us to help us preview Dublin against Meath in the women's final on Sunday. Aisling, I'm surprised you're not in your Keepak jersey.
Yeah. No jersey today. No, I wouldn't do that in a preview now.
That Keepak jersey was genius. I only realised that it had the grid and everything. Whoever came up with that idea, and we asked the manager during the week, it was an open goal for him to claim credit for it, but he didn't do it. And so somebody in the Women's County Board in Meath deserves incredible credit, because it could end up being one of the best-selling GAA jerseys of all time.
I know, and the one I had on now, I had an older version on, but I've been trying to get the women's version, and it sold out everywhere. You can't get it. No matter what colour I tried to get in, the white, it sold out. Every shop you go to, went to O'Neill's in Newry, it's gone. So yeah, it really is. It's unreal.
And that would suggest that the Meath football public is buying into what's going on at the moment. And so there is genuine momentum behind the team.
Absolutely. Like after their extra time thriller against Cork, you know, that was really an eye-opener to say, whoa, this team can go all the way here. A lot of people maybe are saying they're a surprise package. I suppose in Meath, we don't think that so much. And if they did do it, it'd be the first time, I think, since 2004 that we have new champions. So it's great for the game as well. And as you have said, on off the ball again and again, it would be one of the greatest turnarounds of Irish sport. You know, and it gives a hell of a lot of hope to other counties, even that they're in the final, just to know what's possible. You know, it is possible to get to that final against Dublin. And yeah, they're not a flash in the pan. You know, there's a hell of a lot of work has been done. We heard Eamon speaking about that too. You know, the county board, the club level, underage level, they've all contributed to this. So it's massive, yeah.
It seems very weird that this is an All-Ireland final at what is probably the start of a great Meath versus Dublin rivalry, as in we don't have much form for these two exact teams going up against one another.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they haven't played each other a hell of a lot. I think it was back in 2016 when they played last, and it was just a Leinster round robin game in Summerhill. It was here in Meath, and they were bet by 18 points that day. So that's all we really have to go on. You know, we haven't seen them come up against each other, but the Dublin Meath rivalry, it's massive in Meath. Like, I suppose for many summers, you know, the men's Leinster championship lit up our summers, you know, Sean Boylan's men, and we had that famous four in a row saga, you know, literally matches that's probably stopped the country, you know, and we still all talk about them. And we haven't had that in the women's game. So whatever result on Sunday, I believe this is probably the start of a massive Dublin-Meath rivalry for years to come. And I think for Meath people, there's nothing better than going to Croke Park and facing Dublin. So yeah, it's brilliant to see. And I think it will stay for the next couple of years to come, for sure.
There's also then the element of the unknown from Dublin's perspective, looking at this Meath team. Dublin, obviously an incredibly well-coached, well-prepared team. Not actually having that experience of playing this Meath team, who are unquestionably on the upward trajectory. There's an element of danger about that from the Dubs' perspective.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happened in the senior championship this year. Like, they've sort of gone under the radar and teams haven't did a hell of a lot of homework on them. So that's what I think's been happening. I think McBowen speaking this week was quite interesting. You know, he said that Meade, you know, they've actually made us do a hell of a lot of homework because we had nothing on them. We knew very little about them. You know, we had 3-4 days of just sitting down with our notebooks, watching footage, picking out players. He said we didn't even know their names. So we had to learn the names of the Meade players. And he did also say, which was a very big compliment to me, you know, it's a very different structure, the way they play. And it's something that he's never, ever seen in the women's game before, that they're just very organized in their defense. But then they sort of attack almost, you know, with a little bit of mayhem, and it causes serious difficulties for teams to defend against. So, yeah, I think that's a great compliment to be hearing from McBowen. But the fact that they know nothing about them is also probably a good thing for me. You know, they have to do their homework there, but I'm sure they will.
So Meath have actually been in big games because of the regrade to intermediate over the last couple of years. That's one of the things that you would be frightened for if they hadn't been in big games in recent years. It's like, oh, the day, the occasion, everything's going to get to them. There's a possibility that might not be the case.
Yeah, like definitely something that Dublin have is probably those experienced heads in the dressing rooms, you know, Sinead Ahern, Siobhan McGrath, all those girls. I suppose that's what Meath lack. But if you're speaking about experience and playing in big games and big occasions, then they actually do have that. You know, a lot of the girls have won All-Irelands underage. They came up, they played in three All-Ireland finals. They lost two. They got over the line the third time, bet Westmeath. Then they went from Division 3 to Division 2 to Division 1 in the league. So they have those big days behind them. You know, early on this year, they played Kerry in Croke Park and they met them in the Division 2 final. And that was the start of this year. That was where it all kicked off. They love playing in Croke Park. You know, they've had great days there. And I don't think they've any fear going in because, you know, people are talking about them that they'll go in and like, it's unbelievable they're here, you know, and all they can do is go out and do their best. You know, they're sort of loving that vibe when they'll go in, and I think they'll cause mayhem.
Well, that's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario here is that the Dubs are a machine and they're cresting to a second peak, because obviously they're bidding to create their own bit of history for themselves. Like, they are 10-1 on. They are 6-point favourites. The expectation is that Dublin will see this game out, and you know, maybe it'll be mechanical, maybe it'll be straightforward. If you were parking all of the hopes that you have for the game, what are your fears for this game?
Yeah, it's a massive challenge for me. This is the biggest one that they've had yet, and you look at Dublin, they're unbeaten going into this. You know, a massive depth of strength in their panel. You know, they're never relying on just one or two, and that was evident this year with, you know, they've some injury concerns, I think, through the year, and they've always had players to come in and just fill in those gaps, and that's what they do, and that's credit again to Mick Bowen and what he's done. I suppose my fear, where we won and lost, I'd be looking at midfield. I think that's going to be a big challenge. You know, you have Moira O'Shaughnessy and Orla Lally from Meath, and then you look at Lauren McGee, Jennifer Dunn. You know, they are physical players for Dublin. I think that's going to be a seriously tough battle for me. The Meath girls are great, but I just think that it's very physical. I think that's where the link play begins for Dublin. They go through the middle and then they break a pace. So I just think that physical element could be something we'll have to look at. But yeah, just their overall strength. Like, we're not sure who's going to start yet, but that bench, every time they come on, they make an impact. And that's definitely something the Meath will have to look at. And just look, Hannah Tyrrell up front. I don't know who's going to do a job on her, who's going to man mark her. You know, they're very, very dangerous up front. So they'll be tough to stop. They really will.
You mentioned what Mick Bowen has said with regards to this Meath style of play then, Aisling. Is there a sense that Meath turned that up to 11 and actually just get more bodies behind the ball? And given the midfield prowess that you just outlined there, that there is a case to be made for getting maybe all your bodies back, and if they have that breaking at pace capability anyway, it could well be the best case scenario.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they do go out and play and what sort of tactics and structure they play with, but I do think they'll go out that way. They will all get behind the ball and they'll all break, and they can do that. You know, a lot of teams can't keep that up for the full game, but we've seen they can do that, and they can do it an extra time too. So I think that will be what they'll go out and do. You know, they'll all get back and they'll all get forward, and they'll just block up that D. Like, they haven't conceded a lot of goals this year, and that's because of all the bodies in the D that they can't get through. That's just, it's simple as that. They can't get through on goal, and they just sort of push them out and they make them take their scores from positions that it's tough. But I suppose on that case, Dublin can take them scores. You know, they have the players to do that. So they I'm sure they'll keep popping away. But I think for Dublin, they're going to have done their homework on that. They're going to know that's what Meath are going to do. And I think it's just up to them to break a pace before, I suppose, all Meath get back and then create that space with different runners inside. So, yeah, I think Meath will do that tactic. But I think Dublin are well up to the challenge to stop that, to be honest.
It did seem that 17 and 18 were the two best All-Ireland final performances from Dublin. They scored 3-11 one year, 4-11 the other year, and Mick Bohan famously was disappointed with their performance in 19 despite doing the three in a row. And then last year's performance wasn't exceptional either in the final. So does that give you a little bit of hope as well that maybe on the biggest day, that as the longer Dublin get into this run, I'm not sure, is it the performance anxiety or something, but things haven't been going all their way on the biggest day of all.
Exactly, and even just their performance, I suppose, to date as well in the championship, they haven't been as consistent as they would have liked. Yes, they are unbeaten, but I suppose they haven't closed out games. The Donegal game, the quarter final, that was probably the biggest one. It was 5 points in the end that they won by. It was Carla Rowe that struck 2-3 that day. At the minute, she's injured, so you know, they got over the line that day, just about. You know, Donegal were in the lead there for a long enough time. Geraldine McLaughlin was serious that day. She'd won two after a few minutes. And so, yeah, they haven't closed out the games again with Mayo in the semi-final. They let Mayo come back into it and, you know, they got two goals to sort of change the game. So there's all these little factors that I suppose if you're Mead, you're looking at thinking there's a bit of hope here. You know, they're not at their top game that we've seen them, I suppose, in previous years. So there's something in that. But look, yeah, it's still very hard to be looking by them at all, isn't it? But yeah, they'll definitely pose a massive threat, and as they always do.
Give us your prediction.
It's hard because you have to go with your head and not your heart, you know. And I suppose what my head is telling me is that Royals are going to do it.
Okay, on that note, one quick word. You were in Garvahi for the Tyrone press night the other night. We're going to play the interview with Pádraig Campsie next. But before we get to that, they just seem to be fairly relaxed about the whole thing, almost as if it's not second nature to them at this point, and it's not bonus territory, but they feel very confident that this is where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that is the exact vibe that I got too. They don't care about Mayo. They don't care that they're, you know, the whole country's behind them nearly in a way to get this All-Ireland. They just said, look, we've hurt too. You know, we got hurt in 2018. We know what that feels like, and we're not going to want to feel like that again. We knew we were going to go out and do a job against Kerry. You know, I spoke to Kieran McGeary and he was very confident, you know, going into that game. He's like, we believe you are going to win that. So, you know, they're very, very confident. And yeah, exactly. It's where they're meant to be. They've been building for quite a while. As we've seen, you know, a lot, we talked about it, Ger, that a lot of the players that are starting now probably were not coming off the bench or coming back from injuries, all of that. So it'll be interesting to see what team goes out in the final. I asked him about Colt McShane and that, will he get a starting place? He sort of just laughed and said, there's a few lads in there that are looking for their starting place. And as well, I suppose, you don't know, does he like him as that impact? He's a massive impact when he comes on. So yeah, they're very confident. They said they'll enjoy the next 11 days. Their bodies were very sore, but they're looking forward to the final now. Next weekend.
The setup in Garvahi looked exceptionally safe. It looked like the WHO headquarters, the way they were set up. You didn't have to like isolate for 14 days before going into the press conference or anything.
No, it was something else. It just their setup in general is amazing. There, wow, I was really taken back by it. They have, you know, the two AstroTurfs, they have five pitches, all the setup inside. It's something else. But the actual, where the interviews took place, you know, some people were on the Astro, some people were across the way on a different pitch, and then some people were like, they had like almost like school tables set out, and they sit behind the table and you put up your phone and then you take another 2 meters back. It was almost hard for them to hear you. Thankfully I got a one-on-one with them, but I don't think the press lads were too happy.
Owen doesn't care, he's just desperately trying to stir a pot that is congealed with his broken dreams.
Well, no, I mean, I just feel really sorry for Brian Duher, who is saying that Mayo have an extra couple of weeks to prepare for the game. It's just really, really tough in Tyrone.
I know, but was that taken out of context a small bit? I gave him that question. It's almost like I set him up to say that. I didn't mean to do that. Like, I'm just saying to him, look, they have an extra week. That obviously will help them with recovery because two tough semi-finals and then it's just gone mad.
I think Brian Duher haunts all Kerry people, but particularly R. Owen, more than anybody else for 100%. What he did a decade and a half ago and what he's continuing to do now.
Do you ever have like a nightmare and you can somehow, you can like hear a voice in the real world and that voice in the real world starts invading your dream and it like takes a character, becomes a character in your dream and all of a sudden the real world thing is actually a voice in your dream? That's kind of like me every year in the 2000s where I'm outside Croke Park and I can just hear Doher's voice inside saying to an officer on Kernshaw Glocka, and it's just like this is awful. So yes, there is a lot of Doher PTSD going on in this set.
Yeah, and he has a poker face, doesn't he? Like you talk to him and he's just softly spoken and so calm, and I'd be looking at him going, are you the player that I used to watch? Like, you know, it's mad. Even hearing about him, I think it was the 2008 final where he got hit by the ball a few days before.
Yeah.
And he went out and played the game and he never told anyone. Like, he's just a different character when he steps onto that pitch or, when it comes to football anyway.
Definitely. Aisling, good stuff. Enjoy the game. Thanks a million.
Thanks a lot, lads.
That's Aisling O'Reilly giving us her thoughts ahead of the women's final at the weekend.
OTB AM.